Watch Daisy May take on the multi-tentacled aliens from the planet Sporkon in full HD.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Perrin. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Good morning.
And Tracy Erickson.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, this is the new dream team. We had no Chris for ages. It's been jet setting around the world. Was he in Stuttgart the other day?
He never seems to be in the UK. I mean, I know nothing about commitments, but yeah.
He's all over the place, and this was a mixed blessing. He went offline for 36 hours. It's the first time since I've known him that he's, because he has to be constantly connected to the internet all the time. So he's like, you know, he just needs to be plugged into the world. And his laptop broke. He went to Stuttgart, didn't have any internet connection, and he was gone for like 36 hours. It was like an eerie silence.
Yeah.
It's like Chernobyl.
You have to worry with somebody like Chris if something really horrible has happened if he goes offline for that length of time. Something worse than a broken laptop, you know? Because yeah. Chris is always online.
Yeah.
He's working. Unfortunately, he was okay. Fortunately, it was okay. Just laptopless.
Yeah. And he's soon to be jetting off to GDC with about half the Pocket Gamer team, actually. John Jordan's going to be there. Tracy Erickson is going to be there. Alex Rennie's going to be there. Chris James is going to be there. And our new intern, let's give him a shout out, Mike Rose, is going to be there.
Awesome.
His first assignment for Pocket Gamer and also Gamma Sutra, I think. We'll be covering the show. That's going to be good. I wish I was going, though. I never get to go to anything.
Yeah, I'd like to go to GDC as well, just because it's in a nice, sunny part of the world that I haven't really seen yet, you know?
Yeah, well...
It's a good event. I like it better than E3. I actually like a lot better than E3.
Yeah. I spent 10 hours in San Francisco once between flights and thought it was an awesome, awesome place, and I'd like to go back. The problem is, if you go to a thing like GDC, you don't ever get to see the place that it's in. You only get to see the sweaty insides of a conference hall. Like, all these
That's what's pretty cool about GDC is, you know, this year it's really changed. I don't think most of our time is actually going to be inside the convention center.
Right, okay.
Because there's just a lot of different events and such that are going on, you know, in the city around, you know, surround, obviously, surrounding the convention center.
Okay.
Which is nice. You definitely get that sense of the sweaty interior at E3.
Yeah.
Particularly since when it's now big again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit more like that at E3.
I'm going to try and get to E3 this year. I've started a campaign to get there, but we'll see. So that's all looking good. That's next week. But this week, what's been happening?
News!
It's been a newsy kind of week. I'm doing this thing where I pick the most significant news of the week. I think it's probably the new Splinter Cell game coming out, kind of teased by Gameloft, even though we already knew about it, obviously. Via the rumor miner and his wisdom. But what happened was Gameloft have set up a teaser site, and the URL for the site is Sam's New Game, I think.
Right, okay.
Let's have a look. Sam's New Mission, sorry. If you go to samsnewmission.com, there's just a picture of a man, looks a bit tired, sweaty, holding a pistol, pointing it at somebody. There, you know, you can't see what, but presumably they're very intimidated, but you can't actually see them. It says, your morals, your game. And it's got, underneath him, a load of numbers. 37.331689-122.030731, which are the coordinates of Cupertino, Apple's headquarters. Mm-hmm. So there are your clues right there. It's a Splinter Cell game. Because obviously Sam Fisher is the man from Splinter Cell.
Well, that's the exact same artwork used for Conviction, so...
Right.
When it's all ta-da.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty. I didn't realize that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to happen. But of course, the rumor miner was already wise to it. Do we know anything about the game? What it's going to be like?
I don't.
Yeah. Neither do I. Hope it's not a side-scrolling shooter.
I hope, I hope it's a proper kind of something that's actually akin to the series rather than just a spin-off, you know? I don't want another Metal Gear Solid. What was that game called in the end? I can't remember.
Acid?
No. Well, I don't like them either, but the iPhone one.
Oh, dear Lord, that one was awful. Metal Gear Solid Touch.
That's the one, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know what it'll be? I think it'll be like Terminator Salvation or the new Brothers in Arms, kind of that over the shoulder
third,
because like that got that engine. I mean, why not use it? I mean, it works very well.
Those games on the iPhone, I think.
Oh yeah. Oh no, Game Love is definitely learning. I mean, if you go back and play some of the early games, I mean, just the difference is really, really astounding.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be good, but obviously the thing about this is it's going to be sneaky. It'll be the first. I can't think of any sneak 'em ups.
Dexter had some sneaky bits in it, didn't it? But it wasn't such a great game. But yeah, it was kind of touted as being sneaky.
Yeah, you're right. I'd forgotten about Dexter. Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I had downloaded two updates for Dexter the last 2 days. Apparently, they had just issued an update via iTunes like 2 days ago. It was just like a, run-of-the-mill update. Oh, we're adding optimizations, we're adding this, right? Well, apparently it, caused a lot of problems. And so there were all these, one-star reviews that were cropping up on the game's page because people were not able to play the game anymore because of this update. So they updated it again. But the only reason why I'm mentioning this at all is because the game is 400 megabytes. So you're sitting there just waiting for this game to download, and my phone was stuck updating for probably a good hour, just because it's one game.
Bloody Dexter.
That's shoddy. Yeah, that's not good.
Well, I never got that one.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I thought maybe I will get it at some point, but yeah, I wasn't especially interested, and I've never watched the TV program, and I hear it's good. People always say, whenever I say I've run out of TV programs to watch, people say, you should watch Dexter, sir. And I say, yeah, well, maybe I will. But there we are. Splinter Cell. Hopefully it'll be a bit like Dexter, but better. That's the Pocket Gamer consensus, I guess. What else has been happening this week? Well, Assassin's Creed multiplayer came out and was subsequently plagued by multiplayer connection issues. So that's bad news. It's been a bad week for iPhone gaming, I suppose, really, technically-wise. Did you play Assassin's Creed?
I tried.
I didn't play. Right, but you couldn't connect.
I don't understand. I mean, I heard about this throughout the week, that there was going to be some sort of multiplayer. Is it a multiplayer update, or is it a standalone multiplayer game?
It's a standalone game.
Standalone.
How on earth does this work? I don't get how an Assassin's Creed experience lends itself to multiplayer at all.
I don't know. It's top down, isn't it? Looks like Bomberman.
Yes.
Okay.
Fraser, I sort of lean toward your position on the matter.
Yeah.
But I also haven't spent very much time with the game because I can't get online, so.
Okay.
I hesitate to render any sort of definitive judgment about the game, although it's starting off, obviously not on the right foot.
Yeah.
So there's no single player offering at all. It's you can only play multiplayer.
Right. I mean, if you want a single player, there's the Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery. I mean, which is fine, which we reviewed. But
you can't play the multiplayer game against AI opponents. No, is that right?
I don't think so.
No bots. Okay.
Okay. Anyway. Bloody Dexter. Bloody Assassin's Creed. And potentially bloody Splinter Cell. But on the plus side, Mirror's Edge, EA, sent an email around to people saying, Here's some information on Mirror's Edge and Skate It. And Mirror's Edge looks nice.
Skate It doesn't.
not so much. But let's have a positive stop off before we move on to Skate It and start kicking that. Mirror's Edge, everyone's looking forward to that because it looks like Cannibalt, but pretty.
It's everything Cannibalt wanted to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks awesome. That's a day one purchase for me, and there are fewer of those with the App Store now for me as I become a more discerning App Store customer. But yeah,
it's so good. It is so good. I played through the entire thing before they delayed it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay.
It's probably one of the best that I've played. Definitely the last 2 months.
Awesome.
Blimey. And so why was it delayed, do you know?
Well, the official line is that they were going to add features. But when I pressed EA about, well, what features are you adding? This seems pretty complete to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a reply. So what I think probably actually happened is there was a rumor that was going around that the developer Iron Monkey, has been purchased by EA, is merging with the company. And I think the delay may have something to do with that. Like, maybe they had to wait for the merger to happen in order to release the game or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. But either way, it's coming out soon. I'm hearing April. So there's still more time. It's still going to be at least 4 weeks.
Right. Okay.
Oh, well, something to look forward to there. I've just looked down and noticed that I've actually got Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer. I just haven't played it. but when it first came out, it was free for the first 2 days.
Yeah, it's still free.
Still free, is it? Well, I guess they can't really charge for it now that everybody knows it doesn't work. So I haven't played it, but I just thought I'd mention that I do actually own it. So yeah, Mirror's Edge is going to be good, is good, unless somehow they manage to change it and ruin it. It's going to be really good when it comes out. So look forward to that. Skate It is a skateboarding game. Never really into these games, to be honest, these Tony Hawk's type games.
I think that genre in general on all platforms is on the way out. I think that kind of skateboarding thing has had its day. We're moving on to something else now.
Yeah. The thing that got me about the skateboarding games I did play was that it didn't make sense to me that, because I've been on a skateboard, I know what it's like. You have to propel yourself. Whereas in skateboarding games, you just roll along, and it always felt like weirdly unsatisfying to me because it was so detached from reality. By necessity, your skateboard has to just be kind of self-powering.
That's what EA's skating games on home console were actually a bit different in that respect, because the Tony Hawk's games, they were the games that they really got really over the top, and it became really detached from skating. And I think EA's kind of thing when it released the Skate It series was, this is taking it back to almost more like a kind of simulation kind of experience, and the controls were much more complicated, but when you managed to wrestle some gameplay out of them, they were actually quite rewarding, I remember. But not that I ever played much of the game. I played the demo, I think, on Xbox Live Arcade, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be not kicking this into the ground if it's shit, which it sounds like it is from your comments before, Tracy.
Well, I mean, this is just the latest in a bunch of skateboarding games that have come to iPhone, and platform's not even a year and a half old, and we have like 10 different skating games.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have a review here shortly for another skateboarding game, Mike V Do or Die Skateboarding, and it's just like, I mean, they're coming out so frequently that it's an oddly saturated genre, and I think, like you said, it's that sort of thing is that it's just not as popular as it used to be.
I don't like watching. I was walking around Bristol a few months ago with Susie, and there were some people on bikes. Like, there was this kind of truck that had been parked in the middle of Bristol. They'd opened it up, and it had this kind of bike stunt track on it, like with some of these kind of steps, and it was this kind of metal framework, and these two cyclists. It's kind of world-class stunt cyclists who are going about hopping around on the back wheel and kind of taking their bikes apart while they were on them and doing these massive jumps. And I was watching it the whole time just wanting to get away, and Susie wanted to stay and watch it. Because it makes me nervous. Like watching it really, like, genuinely, though, I don't know how people get to stand and watch people risking their lives. Because the whole time I was just thinking, oh, God, what if he falls off and, like, smashes his head on the ground and his brains come out? That's going to ruin my life. God. I'll never forget that. I know, right?
No wonder you're terrified. You're visualizing some other person's brains all over the asphalt.
Yeah.
You've got to prepare yourself for these things.
Your imagination's too vivid. That's the problem.
So you're freaking you freak yourself out now, so that way when it happens, you'll be like, ah, see, I told you. I'm cool now. I was expecting
this. Deathly silence across the crowd, and then you just hear me go, I knew it! Come on, Susie, we're going.
No, it's the same with the... I can't understand, really, for the same sort of reason... why people watch these bail videos where it's just people smashing their faces off the ground or landing on their crotch from a great height on a rail or something like that. You know, I can't watch. It's too painful to watch.
They're not just watching it. They're sitting there and like laughing and oh my God, that looked like it hurt so much. Yes, it did. Yeah. Oh my God.
The youth of today.
Yeah, I hate them. Yeah. So yeah, so that's all a load of rubbish. Okay. This skating game might be all right, but probably won't.
And we've really, in a very tangential way, with no substance whatsoever, completely shat on this game.
which very ironically
we gave a 7 to on DS. So apparently it actually is good, and we're just kind of beating it up for no reason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good that we got that caveat in there at the end. That we'd have this, some angry developers on the phone.
This isn't the review. Yeah, just if you're listening to this, in the unlikely case that you're listening to this, this is not the review. So, Skate It is coming. Mirror's Edge is coming. Splinter Cell is coming. Assassin's Creed is out. There was last week. We talked a little bit about the kind of the whole sex. App gate on the App Store, and Apple saying no, we don't like sexy apps, and taking down something like 5,000 or having 5,000 in its sites. Which I have to say, I'm a bit confused by, because I had an email the other day about a game, and it was Sex Positions. You know, this game Sex Positions has come out, and I thought, all right, fat chance. So I checked on the iTunes on the App Store, and it's there. There is a Sex Positions app. I don't really understand what the remit of this kind of clampdown is. But in any case, there was an app called Tubes, which is just, it's got boobs in it. I haven't played it, so, you know, or used it, so I don't really know what it involves. But I know that it is related to breasts. It, you know, you have the app, and the central purpose of the app is to see breasts. Presumably not naked breasts, because you can't, you know, you were never able to do that.
Sounds like you're reading like a really sort of sordid design document. The purpose of the app is to see breasts. You know, yeah. It sounds really daft. Yeah.
I think it's fine. I mean, you know, if that's what you want your app to be about, then, you know, why not? It's all innocent fun. But you can never do that on the App Store anyway, because it's just not allowed. Never was allowed. Anyway, this is a slightly interesting story, because Apple basically missed it. So all of these other kind of slightly dirty apps were banned and chased away from the App Store, and Tubes was left where it was. And as a result, the developer went from making $30 a day to making $1,600 a day, because there was only one dirty app. So everyone was like, but there's no dirty apps. And someone said, I found one over here, guys. And they all ran over and started downloading it, you know, so that they were earning $1,600 a day. I just like the fact that there was that much of a determined kind of customer base for breast-based apps, which, as I previously mentioned, didn't even properly contain breasts. But there you are. I think that's funny. It's gone now. It's now been taken off. Although there is a new dirty game coming. It's on the front page. Went up overnight. perhaps even you wrote this story, Tracy, but I think it's probably John Jordan.
Babe
Barella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Babe Barella. Yeah. It's super sexy O-Vision, it says. Is it going to be too rude for Apple? We'll have to wait and see. The last one, Daisy May's Alien Buffet, was too rude, although then it was restored.
Daisy May's Alien Buffet, it sounds like the world's most disturbing porno, doesn't it? It sounds like it's just some sort of really deplorable, disgusting, horrendous thing. But, you know, it's on the App Store, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Watch Daisy May take on the multi-tentacled aliens from the planet Sporkon in full HD.
HD.
Really, I don't know what you're doing at Pocket Gamer, Tracy. Get on the phone. Get, you know, be that cinema dude who does the voiceover at the start, really. That's your calling.
In the kind of adult cinemas, obviously. That's where you specialise.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he'd do it with anything. So,
when I was at school, we used to call a male erection an HD. By the way, I just... So when you said it, I assumed it was intentional. But so there was one time, for example, when... Because it was that time, school, wasn't it, where everyone was going to get young. Every so often, there'd be someone who'd just get, like, an erection in class. And all the other kids were kind of really conscious of it, because school is just a horrible place anyway. But there was this one time, John Pearson, hello if you're listening, got an erection in craft and design. And it was, Pearson's got an HD, which I could never work out. Because I went, yeah, he's got an HD. Oh, that's a funny word for it. Then afterwards I went, but those are not the initial letters of the words hard on. It's like the words are har and don. It just doesn't work. It should be H-O. But I didn't bother pointing this out. I just chanted with the rest of them.
It's such a shame that, you know, you grew up in an age before HD televisions, because you would have had so many opportunities to snigger as a young'un with your little saying.
Yeah, HD TV. Yeah, definitely. So that's that. Tubes. Basically, I think the message is there is still some dirty stuff on the App Store. And if you are lucky enough to get something remotely dirty onto the App Store, now's the time to do it, because, everything else is gone. It's like having, a gin house during Prohibition, the Prohibition years in America. You just rake it in.
Yep. Sinful apps.
Yes, it is. So, speaking of sinful, Apple has been kind of associated with some sweatshop labor in China. These are just factories that subcontract to Apple. It has been found through an investigation, I think, conducted by Apple, that they're employing people for too many hours and people who are too young. So I think Apple have been pretty good about, disclosing it and shutting it down. So I don't think, there's no Apple bashing to be done, really. But it's worth mentioning that if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch or some other kind of Apple product, chances are that a child in China died, to bring you that. So you just think about that when you're
Rob,
looking up.
Don't be unreasonable. But he was probably just maimed.
Well,
he's still alive in their... And now they're being laid off because Apple's cracking down. So basically, if you have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, just think about that for a second. A maimed Chinese child now has no job because of your gaming addiction.
And one less limb. Yeah, they can't even, if they wanted, they couldn't even play Flight Control if they could afford it.
Exactly. Multi-touch. Hollow laugh. Multi-touch, actually nothing. I've only got one finger. Yeah. Jobs.
Almost as soon as I said that, I regretted it. Almost as soon as I said that, I felt like I was a worse person.
I've got this mental image, which is terrible, and I shouldn't say it, but it's quite funny. Okay, well... So other things, Astro Ranch came out, Raging Thunder 2 came out, by surprise actually, we weren't expecting it for another couple of weeks. And Rayman 2.
Straight to video sequel to Raging Thunder.
Raging Thunder sounds like a good title for a film, doesn't it? Whenever I always think of Rolling Thunder, the arcade game.
I'm getting confused. I was thinking that this was Days of Thunder, because there was an app for that, and that this was a sequel. Right, never mind.
Jesus. So it's getting confused for two things. Raging Thunder. It's caught between a rock and a hard place. Rolling Thunder was an arcade game based on the Shinobi engine, I think. It was very similar to Shinobi and brilliant, I seem to recall. But Days of Thunder I never saw. But I did quite like the song from it. Was it Maria McKee? Show Me Heaven? I'm too old. Damn it!
Really yeah, I never heard that before.
This happens all the time, especially on the podcast, because it's with Fraser, who's younger than me. I make a reference and then realise that I'm older. I'm older than you guys. It makes me sick. Anyway, Days of Thunder, Maria McKee. Very nice song. And that's it. That's the news. That's a wrap. Let's move on to the rumour mine.
Right, okay. Okay. This is when I scramble for the audio clip that I should have had lined up by now. Okay.
We've got a Wikipedia page now, but I think it's going to be swiftly taken down.
Really? Why?
By Wikipedia. The whole thing is it's a bit of a farce. Well, because obviously it's always been a bit odd to me that Pocket Gamer doesn't have a Wikipedia site, because there is a Pocket Gamer on Wikipedia, and it's Pocket Gamer, a defunct UK magazine dealing with mobile stuff that was only existed for about a year in and around 2003. So I thought, right, okay, so Pocket Gamer's got to have one. And genuinely, I wasn't, I suppose it was, there was an element of self-promotion, but it wasn't, like, I wasn't being all Chris-like about it. I just thought it should have one, though. It's a bit funny that it doesn't, because most sites and stuff have one. So I just created one, thinking there was nothing to it. And then they've attached this note to it saying this is probably going to be deleted because it's, you know, you're promoting a website and there's no evidence for it to be that, you know, that it deserves an entry on Wikipedia. But so I sent them an email or put a note on it saying, what are you talking about? It's replacing Pocket Gamer, a defunct magazine. So anyway, but possibly if they go with my reasoning, then we'll have a Wikipedia page soon.
Did the Wikipedia page include quite a lot of information about how the world's greatest writer, Rob Hearn, was currently editing the site?
Do you want me to read? Well, my first draft was this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Pocket Gamer is a UK-based website that covers gaming on portable platforms, including DS, DSi, PSP, and iPhone. It was launched in 2006 by six former employees of Future Publishing. Past editors include industry veterans Owen Benlack and Xiao Denis Sanchez, author and ex-editor of Edge. The site is currently edited by Rob Hearn, future Oscar-winning president of the Pulitzer Committee and acclaimed sex coach.
Sex?
Pocket Gamer has two sister sites operated by its parent company, Steel Media, PocketGamer.biz, which was founded by Stuart Dredge and is currently edited by respected journalist John Jordan, and PocketPix, a blog covering hardware and applications. Now, when I put it on a Wikipedia, I did take out some of those details, like all stuff like acclaimed. I took out that because I didn't want it to sound too marketing-like, you know, because genuinely that wasn't my intention. There are no links to the site, like from the entry, for example, so I'm not trying to get traffic up it or anything. But I took out stuff like acclaimed and respected and things like that.
Okay.
But they're going to... Bloody Wikipedia. Bloody Nazis.
But you kept the sex coach bit.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you have to tell the truth on Wikipedia. That's the whole point. Just because it happens to be positive, you know, the truth is the important thing. It does say future sex coach, to be fair. Yeah, you know, I'm not there yet. But anyway, Wikipedia, check us out. We'll probably be gone by the time you do.
Shall we go into the rumour mine now then?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Rumour. Rumour. Here we are.
Here we are.
Underground walls dripping with condensation, and the fingernails of previous miners who died here, along with their skeletons. Any other metaphors?
Um, No. I was thinking about something about maybe we could talk about something being axed, but then I didn't have a ready example. So,
axed like in the kind of modern sense of ask.
No.
Axed me to do something?
No, yeah. That's not what, I'm not even aware of that. What is that?
It's that's American slang. Say.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, X. You X me outside.
I am Xing you to be outside.
Yeah, but like in Futurama, that's what everyone says in the future.
Right.
So I think it's quite funny. It's one of those nice little details in Futurama that makes it so good.
Which, speaking of Futurama, it's coming back. Did you hear this?
Is it really?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
It is coming back.
As well it should. I really liked Futurama.
It was so brilliant. It's coming back on the Comedy Channel, isn't it? Or something like that. Or Nickelodeon. It's not coming back on Fox, I don't think. I think someone else has bought it.
Comedy Central in June. Original voice cast.
Awesome.
Great. Rumours.
Rumours, yes.
What have we got? What's the rumour line?
Rumours.
Okay, so more on Tales of Monkey Island. Splinter Cell, this is good. Tales of Monkey Island, that's a lock pretty much now, isn't it? That's gonna be good. So we're looking forward to that. When will we know by next week's podcast? Another week after?
Oh yeah, we'll know. Let's see, when am I meeting? Wednesday. We'll know Wednesday night.
Wow.
Cool.
That's good. That's exciting. God, next week's going to be another busy one. It's been horrible. Too much work. So look out for that. There's going to be a new Monkey Island game. Tales of Monkey Island is the hotly tipped game. But, you know, there's still a small chance, isn't there, that it could be Monkey Island 2 or Monkey Island 3 or 4 or something else. Probably 2 if it's going to be anything. But maybe not. We'll see.
Guybrush Threepwood in space.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. I think I'd protest if they were to take the franchise there. So, Quake Live is coming. Quake Live is the web, I never played it because I never had a computer good enough. So maybe someone can explain this to me. Is it browser-based, Quake Live?
Yes, it is. I don't think you need to have a good computer. You only really need to have a good connection because all the graphics processing's done on the server end.
Ah.
Yeah. It's also on Xbox.
Quake Live?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think a game like Quake wouldn't work on the Xbox, though, I have to say. Like, I used to play it a bit when I was a kind of PC gamer with a hard rig. And it's just all trigger, it's all hair trigger reactions, and you have to really be a ninja in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
There was this infamous, they tried to get Quake 3, well they did, I think, there were servers where, Dreamcast servers where people could play Quake 3 on the Dreamcast and the PC together, simultaneously. I don't know whether they could play them together simultaneously all the time, or whether it was just that some PC gamers hacked into Dreamcast servers, but I know that that the PC gamers used to. I mean, it was so one-sided.
Yeah.
Because playing a game like this on the PC is a completely different experience. So I kind of think playing a game like this in 360 would be a bit empty because you need to have that kind of mouse pinpoint, point and click.
I should correct myself. What I meant to say was not Quake Live the browser game, but Quake 3 Arena, which is the predecessor to Quake Live.
Right,
Quake Live is built from Quake 3 Arena.
Right.
So they're essentially the same game, but obviously the Quake Live is, as you were explaining, Fraser, was optimized to be server-based.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Okay. I didn't actually even know that. That's awesome. I'm going to go and get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Quake 3, I used to like that.
But it's coming to iPhone Quake Live then, is it? Or that's the rumor, at least.
Yeah, the rumor is that that game is coming to iPhone, which isn't. That's actually not that. I mean, there has been a lot of talk about that happening. I know that id Software was saying that they were going to be bringing more of those legacy titles, a lot of their older titles, to iPhone, and they've already done that with Dune.
Sure.
And Wolfenstein.
And Carmack is a massive, massive iPhone fanboy as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's progressive, isn't he, with his thinking on mobile devices? Because he did the whole Doom RPG thing, which I think was actually his wife, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. It was his wife that did the first Doom RPG anyway. And it was a critical hit at the time as well. I remember it getting an award at the Edge Awards way back in 2006, the Edinburgh Interactive Games Festival.
I wish I had a wife who could make games instead of one who hates games. Except Plants vs. Zombies, which she loves.
That's a good game to love.
PopCap has cast a spell on Susie, I realise. The three games that she's become seriously obsessed with during the time I've known her have been Peggle, Bejeweled 2, and Plants vs. Zombies. So they really know how to appeal to very casual gamers. That's just a little shout-out to PopCap there. Well done, guys. You're doing fine. So, yeah, and another rumour is that iPhone developers can't afford the Unreal Engine 3. So there's been a lot of talk about this, about Epic Games wanting to get into iPhone and to license this engine for people. So I guess the rumour here is that it's not going to happen because they're going to charge too much for it. I don't know. You know the rumour miner better than I do, Tracy. Why don't you elaborate on this a little bit?
Well, I've actually heard something similar. I was speaking with somebody that is pretty familiar, pretty close to Epic Games a couple days ago, and they were mentioning how a lot of people were upset because they really wanted to use Unreal Engine 3 for shooters, but that they were having trouble getting licenses. And I wonder, they wouldn't explain why, like what did they mean by it? Getting, like, what do you mean by you're having trouble getting a license? Like, you should just be able to get it, right? I mean, they wouldn't really elaborate. So this, the fact that the rumor miner is saying that it's too expensive, that would be a big problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's good. So we know a bit more about engines now. and that's what's happening. Excellent. So good rumors. Once again in the rumor mine. Let's leave. Let's put down our pickaxes. Let's lay down our shovels. Discard the kind of crescent-shaped crusts of our Cornish pasties, which we're not going to eat because of our coal smudgy fingers. Get back on the lift, ring the bell, and let the guy at the top of the lift press his button on his end, so that the lift starts going up.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
That was the most thorough exit from the rumor mine I've ever had.
Well, we've got to make sure. Make sure we get out. Let's talk about games we've been playing this week.
Yes, yes. So who's going to go first?
I can. I'll go first. So the games I've been playing are, well, I've been playing Raging Thunder 2. I've had a good long go of that. That is a racing game sequel, obviously. I think it's by Polar Bit.
Yeah.
I say that. Yep. Okay. Good. And it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It is basically my verdict on that game. It's not. It's clearly not in the same kind of league as Real Racing and Need for Speed and Jet Car Stunts. It's, you know, it doesn't have that kind of level of polish. It doesn't feel as nice. What it's got is the car feels quite floaty, and it has this sort of binary feel to it. So when you're turning, you very quickly start skidding. And like you spend most of your time skidding, but it doesn't feel like. I think what a really good racing game does, is it makes you feel like you have this little object on the screen, which is your car, and it is behaving like a real object in that little world. So when it rolls, it's because that's what a car would do in real life. And when it skids, it's because it was going at a certain speed at a certain angle. And that's just, and skidding is just what happens when those circumstances come about. And in less good racing games, skidding is just, it's like the programmer said, okay, if the car reaches this angle, it enters skid state, and then skid state is exited when it level straightens out again. And this is like how that game feels. And there's no degrees of skidding. It's just you're either not skidding or you're skidding. One and zero.
Yeah,
and it's all very like that. The controls are quite twitchy. It's very, I mean, it feels like Crazy Kart Racing, which I also played, which I got used to. At first, I thought it was very twitchy, and then I got used to the controls, and I think it's perfectly fine. It's fun to go around. It's very, very arcadey, but this is the most kart racery a kind of arcade racer can possibly be. In the there are just power ups, and the tracks are really short, and they're very kind of eventful, exciting. You know, it's like it's not just like a road winding around a mountain. They'll be set around a castle or something like that, and they're all really short. And it feels like a kart racer. The only difference is you don't jump and you don't fire stuff at people. But apart from that, that's the kind of game it is, and it's perfectly good. I went to see if there was anybody online, and there wasn't yet because it's only just out. But
is it Wi-Fi online or network?
Both. So you can play on the internet or you can play locally. It's really good, robust multiplayer, or at least it was in Crazy Kart Racing. So I'm speaking about another game here, but I assume it's the same kind of setup because it's run by the same people, by Polarbit's servers. So when I played Crazy Kart Racing, I had a few goes with Mundy, wherever he is, Leamington Spa, and it was fine. It ran perfectly well. So I imagine this is the same. And because it's quite kart racery, I think this game would be really fun multiplayer. And it's perfectly acceptable single player, but it's definitely not in the same kind of league as Real Racing, Jet Car Stunts, and the really good racing games. It's just too kind of simplistic. But it's worth checking out. And the other game I'm playing is $2.99. So it's, I don't know, I would say, to my shriveled purse, that seems a bit pricey. And I was talking about my shriveled purse and nothing else. So it seems quite pricey, but maybe it'll come down. It's fine. If you like racing games, particularly multiplayer, then it's worth getting. And I also had to go of Astro Farm. I played it less, but what I was struck by was, wow, it really is a massive, massive ripoff of
Xeno Animal Crossing.
Yeah, like so obviously. That's not to go against it. There's a lot of ripping off in games. I've just, as we've spoken about in a previous podcast, I've just been through Darksiders, the most rip-offing game I've ever played, but I loved it. I think it's brilliant. I don't think ripping another game off is a problem necessarily, especially if it's ripping off a good game, then good, because it means it's good too. And Astro Farm is good. But it's funny though, because for all we say about Game Loft being a studio that basically just copies other games, I think Tag Games is getting does a pretty good line in that as well, with Car Jack Streets being very GTA and then this being very Animal Crossing. But it's excellent though, isn't it? The game really, it's like Animal Crossing, but it does a very, very good impersonation of a game that is very good. So I would recommend it, and that's cheaper. That's $1.79 at the moment. That's an introductory price, and it's going to go up. But definitely worth checking out. Just a few technical things that Damien picked up on, didn't he, in his review, that kind of cost it a higher mark, really. It still got an 8, but it would have done even better if it wasn't so glitchy. But that's worth it. You've played that game as well, haven't you, Tracy? What were your views on it?
I'm not really into Animal Crossing, so I personally didn't get into it to Astro Ranch.
Right.
So my opinion is not very helpful.
Oh, well, okay. But there you are. It's fine. Yeah, I wasn't massively into Animal Crossing either. It's funny when you start and you get there, and then someone says, hello, I'm the mayor. Let me show you around. And you just think, my God, this is... Yeah. I mean, I don't think the mayor is the first person to show you around. I think the first person to show you around Animal Crossing is this landlord raccoon called Tom something or other. But it's still very similar. Worth checking out. That's me. That's all I've been playing. Fraser, do you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. I've been playing a really cool little game called Bit Pilot. I've never played the game Asteroids because I'm too young, but I have a feeling that this game probably has something in common with it, because basically the whole premise of the game is that you're just this little kind of floating entity in space, and you've got to avoid asteroids. And, you know, it's really, that is pretty much all there is to the gameplay. And the only difference being as you get through it, that, you know, you get more asteroids to avoid, and it gets more frantic. And there are various power-ups as well that kind of put, like, propel you through the levels a little bit more quickly. And all the while, you're kind of confined within this sort of box, sort of gameplay area. And to control it, you just kind of move your thumb around the screen, trace your thumb around the screen in order to actually move your little entity. And you can speed that up by using two thumbs at once. So, you know, you can put two thumbs next to each other and move them up, down, left and right and that kind of thing. And that moves you a little bit more quickly. And there's this, like, really, like, there's a sort of calculated delay in the way in which your ship moves in relation to your input. So you've got to, that's where the challenge really lies, and kind of trying to kind of, you when you do manage to maneuver out of the way of an asteroid, it's usually just by the skin of your teeth kind of thing. It's got a really, really, really cool sort of Cannibal-like retro aesthetic with amazing, amazing music. And I'm going to have to play some of the music for you right now because it's so brilliant. So here we go. Me that I died there, but yeah, it's got several kind of tracks just like that are, you know, they're from the sort of golden age of the Game Boy type music.
Yeah, just I was enjoying
really,
that.
It's really, really, really cool, and the graphics as well. You know, they're very deliberately kind of pixelated, and it's just got style and sophistication. You know, it's like a really, it's not homage in the way that homages can sometimes be a little bit kind of gushing and a bit sort of, you know. You know, just kind of paying lip service to a genre. This style actually just does really, really suit this type of game, and yeah, I just love it. If there's anything I could say probably about it that's not so great, it's that it's obviously quite one dimensional. There's not an awful lot to it, and you know, it's not like it's got a tremendous amount of depth. It is just one of those games with one simple mechanic that challenges you to get better and better at doing that. And, you know, it's high score chasing all the way. But it's got all the open faint integration stuff that you'd want for sharing your scores and everything when it comes to boasting about how good you are at dodging asteroids. And, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those games that, okay, it might not be tremendous in scope, but for what it is, it's perfectly realised. You know, it's the chap that's had the vision for this game has executed that vision with real panache. And yeah, it's just a great wee game. And it's only 59p, so it's one of those games that you just can't really say no to. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Rousing endorsement.
Yeah, yeah. I know you're a fan, Tracy, of the developer at least. Are you not?
Yeah, Zach Gage. He also, oh gosh, what are the other games? He developed a couple of other games, and the names are eluding me all of a sudden. But he's just really wonderfully creative, you can just tell that he really just wants to make games. He wants to do that and doesn't want to sort of get caught up in the, you know, the crazy business stuff that, you know, sort of dominates a lot of the bigger companies. And he just comes out with these little games. They, you know, kind of fly under the radar, but they're just really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
It's got a cool name.
Yes, what's his name? He does. What? I'm envious.
Awesome.
Mr. Gage. Nice to see you again.
Zach. Zach is good. Gage is good. Both parts good. I don't know. Maybe if I was going to quibble, I'd say there should be more syllables. One syllable per name is maybe not enough.
But this must be, you know, an endorsement of his game. If we can't think enough to criticize it about, we're actually thinking of ways to critique his name.
Yeah.
Your name is cool, but there's just not enough syllables.
Yeah.
8 out of 10.
Easy fix. Zachary Gage. Just change it. He just uses all the syllables in his first name and he's there. It just says, I'm Zach. Oh, Zach what? Zachary Gage. I think you said Zach. It was Zachary Gage, but Zach, that's, you know, that wouldn't be a conversation that annoyed him.
So and, with an update, then his name gets a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. With an update, but unfortunately that will not be admissible because of our policy. But anyway, that sounds good. What was it called again, Fraser? Okay.
It's just called BitPilot.
BitPilot, okay. Yeah.
And I think, you know, that, I don't know, the name doesn't really say much about what the game is, but it does say a lot about the game's style. So, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I was just having a gulp of tea there. What about you, Tracy?
I've been playing and have completed Radio Flare Redux, which is reviewed now, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. I've actually been personally looking forward to this game. I played the original, reviewed that, enjoyed it. There were some issues I had then with the game, specifically the original not really having as close a connection between the shooter gameplay and the music. And that's largely the same with Radio Flare Redux. So basically, it's a side-scrolling shooter where you're in control of this little space guy in a little miniature spaceship, and you go to these different, you go to 33 different planets, and you basically shoot enemies to the beat of the music. And you use your finger on your left hand to drag your ship on the screen, and then you use a finger on your right hand to swipe over enemies, and that targets them. And then when you lift your finger up, the enemies get shot, and then they're gone. And so across the 33 different levels, you have different music bits. It's like house music, techno, a little bit of chilled out stuff, and just different enemies. There's boss levels. So there's some good variety, and the enemies, if you've played R-Type, it's that kind of game, but it's music and it's gesture-based. So enemies will, just like in R-Type, they'll come across the screen in different formations. And so you just learn how to deal with those different formations here in Radio Flare by dragging your finger across the screen. The presentation is phenomenal. Like it has really, really colorful, vibrant visuals, and they thump to the music. It's really cool. I love the music. The music is an enormous improvement from the original. And the original had great music, but this is like, I mean, it's just really good stuff. The problem is that the gameplay doesn't really play to the music. Like, it doesn't, the music could be totally different than what it is now, and it would have the same, albeit no effect whatsoever, really, on the gameplay. Like, you're not, when you shoot the enemies, you're not really doing it to the beat of the music. You're not really having any effect on the music. There's like a little beep and blip, like whenever an enemy dies, but that's not really contributing to the music per se. And so the whole experience, it pains me to say it, like, it's really fun, but at the same point, it just doesn't really achieve the goal that it sets out to do, which is to create this shooter music hybrid, because it ultimately feels like you've got this phenomenal soundtrack that's essentially an accompaniment to the action. It's not part of the action.
So if it hadn't presented itself as that, I mean, then what would it be like? So if this was just R-Type with good music, would it be a good R-Type? Or does the fact that it's purportedly tied into the music matter very much to the gameplay as the side-scrolling shooter?
Which is a great question. And I go into a little bit of this in my review, but obviously space warranted. This is a great opportunity to expand on that. Basically, the way I feel about the game is this. I think the music is ultimately the first concern. That's sort of the first layer, because that's what the game is billed as, right? I think beyond that, if you eliminate that sort of concern, you say, okay, well, even if I don't care about that, there are still issues with the gameplay that I think would need to be resolved or strengthened. Let me give you an example. There are power-ups that you can get. There's a bomb that'll clear the screen of all enemies. There's a camera that you can pick up that takes a screenshot of basically the scene at the moment that you pick up the power-up. And then there's a shoot power-up, which basically kills enemies as soon as you touch them. So these are all really cool. Like, they're great. The screenshot power-up is kind of a weird one. I don't really understand its purpose other than the fact that you get to save screens, which you can take anyway on your iPhone. But the other two are useful. But the problem is you only get them when you've killed enemies, and usually that means that the screen is cleared. So a bomb will appear because you just cleared a wave of enemies, but you use it and it doesn't have any effect because there's no more enemies around. I also noticed one thing I didn't mention in the review that happened to me at least three times. There were points in which I was in the middle of a level and the game just kind of pauses. The action stops, the music stops, and then it just kind of catches back up again, which can be really jarring, obviously, because, yeah, I mean, it just literally stops for a moment and then resumes. I don't know if that was specific to my device, which is one of the reasons why I left that out of consideration, but I'm curious to see if anybody else encounters that problem as well. And then lastly, I mentioned in the review, the controls can be a little bit sticky, a little bit hard to deal with, because you have two fingers on the screen, and I noticed that a couple of times that it would just get the ship would have trouble. What am I trying to say? Having two fingers on the screen at the same time, sometimes the game gets mixed up because you may lift a finger or up at a certain angle, and so then instead of shooting or targeting an enemy, you end up moving your ship into an enemy. So I ended up dying a couple of times because my fingers were getting twisted on the screen. But I don't. That also may be my own shortcoming, not being really skillful at playing the game, or not.
Yeah. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
But all that said, it's a really, it's a very stylish game. I enjoyed it. I played it all the way through. I still recommend it. Just be aware of what you're getting into. It's not going to be the concert game of your life or anything like that.
I mean, the way in which the music works with the game, there is an element of disconnect that you maybe wouldn't expect with a game that's kind of billed as having music as at its core. And one of the things I noticed when playing it is that enemies do, when you target the enemies and you kill them, they're dispatched with, but then they tend to die in time to the music. So they actually disappear in time to the beat kind of thing. Which, as you say, you've already, as the gamer, you've already made the input, so it doesn't affect the gameplay, it really just affects your experience of it. Which I think is quite cool, but it's they're all very valid points, I reckon, Tracy.
I really hope that they. I really like how the game is constructed, in terms of the level of polish and quality in the interface and the menus, just the music and the way that the visuals are put together. Like you were saying, the enemies disappearing in time with the music. I mean, you go into a level. And if there's a if this track is like his house, it's driving a hard beat. Like, the visuals reflect that. The game is reflecting visually the music, not just in terms of tempo and rhythm, but also in atmosphere. And I think no other game on the App Store really has accomplished that in the same way. Maybe Auditorium, But I just really, there's something about this game, I just really like the way it's constructed. And it actually, in a way, it kind of, it pained me to have to criticize it in this sort of way, because as much as I do, I love the music and I really enjoyed it. I just ultimately didn't feel that the what was promised, that connection was not there.
Sure, yeah. It is a big leap over the original, though. That is
true. Oh, absolutely.
It's cool.
Excellent. How much is that?
$2.99 American.
Okay, so that's £179. That's an acceptable price. Definitely. Yeah, sounds good. I might pick that up, actually. Excellent. Well, right. That's it then. We've done everything.
We've done everything.
Yeah. Are we having music?
No music this week. Nobody wrote into me. Like, I think the podcast, the competition's a bust. It's there was nobody's written in for a couple of weeks now since we've stopped prizes and things.
But it's not our fault, is it? It's their fault.
It's their fault, yeah.
It's the listeners.
It's the listeners. So, listeners, imagine right now that a piece of music that you don't quite know is playing, and then guess the answer, and then tell yourself. And don't write in.
Yeah. Or do write in, actually. Now, I think I'd rather hear what music they imagine to themselves. To be honest. I think that'd make for some interesting correspondence.
If that would, sure. It's like Spotify, but without the Spotify.
Muskrat Susie and Muskrat Sam both live together in Muskrat Land.
What the hell is that?
Muskrat Love.
I've never heard of Muskrat Love. It sounds...
It's like total Muzak, elevator Muzak.
Is it like Steely Dan?
No, oh, it's worse. Yes, that's the right track, though, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Tracy has proved that this is actually an exciting game to play at home, kids. so get imagining and don't write in.
See what song I went to? For No One by the Beatles. I think that's quite often the song I go to if someone says think of a song.
Yeah,
something okay. About it. Okay. So we're at the end. It's time to go. We've done it. Also, go to pokegamer.co.uk. You can read all the latest scoops and whatnot, and reviews, of course, including reviews of the games that we've been talking about today. You can give us a rating on iTunes. And aside from that, it's me. I'm off. I'm going to a wedding, so I'll see you next week. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.